7:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. A happy Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Chip Simmons is our sheriff in Escambia County. Chip, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Happy Thanksgiving in advance.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Is your family a one-meal or a two-meal family?
We are a one-meal family. Unfortunately, my two boys are two-meal families. Oh. So unfortunately, it depends on your outlook on things.
For them, it's good. I kind of admire people who can pull off two Thanksgiving dinners in a day. I mean, I feel like that's, you know, that's superhero stuff. I can't do it anymore.
I had to do it, and I said, I'm just going to have one helping and then go to the second meal, but that never works out because there's desserts and
I'm always amazed, you know, we're usually like three or four is when we eat something like that, and then by about nine, my boys are like, what's for dinner? I'm like, what? Dude, you just ate. And they're like, yeah, 5 hours ago. I'm like, yeah, just. But, you know.
Help yourself.
Yeah, guys. It's all there in the kitchen.
Still out, yeah.
It's all there in the kitchen. I did all the work already. You know, that's on you now.
There's a pie over there.
That's right. That's right. That's actually a good question. Let me make a note here. All right, there we go. You made me think.
God knows what this is going to be.
No. Okay. So I do the frivolous topic, right? Where we argue about things that don't matter. But I'm always getting ideas from the weirdest of places. And I'm not saying you're a weird place, but kind of, I got an idea from you. So
I've been called worse.
It's all gonna work out in the end. So one thing is that we had a break-in at some cars at a retirement village. Is that right?
Yeah, some clown decided that he would take advantage of an opportunity, I guess, and try to break into some cars at the...
Like opening doors or actually breaking windows and breaking in.
We got a call that this guy's trying to break into cars in the parking lot of a assisted living facility, which is on Crossville Street. An employee witnessed 43-year-old Jacob Edward Whalen attempt to break into a vehicle in the facility's parking lot. So they call the sheriff's office. We get there, and when we get there, this guy takes off. He is wearing a blue Florida Gators sweatshirt. I'm not saying that for any reason other than it's easy
it's
to spot
identify,
these type
right.
of people. And then he also had a green A's or Oakland A's. Still Oakland A's?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
It was green Oakland A's.
Real blendy. He's really, really blending into the background here.
Yeah,
okay.
Bad camouflage is what I call it. But anyways, he took off running. Unfortunately for him, we had a canine walker in the area. We unleashed the canine, and we ended up picking him up near a church parking lot. So he was charged with, who's he also a registered criminal, a registered felon, and we arrested and charged him with attempted vehicle burglary. So that happened on the 21st. So good job to our deputies. Good job to an observant employee there. Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, a good job to canine walker, who was named after fallen deputy Roosevelt Walker.
How long can a canine hold a suspect? Like in practice, is this like 30 seconds, 5 minutes? Like how long can he sit there and chew on his leg and growl at him and keep him in submission?
You mean how long do they decide to do it? They would probably do it as long as they're...
That's what I'm wondering. Like, you know, they're waiting until the handler to come and release them, but, you know.
Yeah. Typically, they're on lead. Whenever we do that, if it's a felony suspect or if it's something that we're trying to, if we see him and we're, you know, they won't comply, then they will get them off lead. It's usually less than 20, 30 seconds that they have to hold on to them. Usually they get the point pretty well.
So they don't really get to the point where the suspect becomes a chew toy.
No, unless the suspect continues to fight, then
they get what they get. All right. I was just curious, you know, how long they can subdue or keep somebody subdued. And, you know, my brain asked weird questions. That was one of them. Let's see. You guys have, you're also using your, I don't know what you call them, the cameras that are on like portable bases that they can put up a tower and see the whole area. I saw them at Blue Angels weekend out on the Pensacola Beach, and I've seen them around at different places, deployed some of those for things at the fair, right? And you've deployed some of those for Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, if you recall, we're still trying to ramp up our real-time crime center, which integrates the cameras that are already out in our community into this one location.
I thought that was already active.
It is. It's active, but we're ramping it up, getting more and more capable every time
I got
we...
You. Always expanding ability.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We're trying to get more cameras, as we talked about before, on off of Massachusetts, where we're continuing to add cameras and bring them online. So to me, when I say ramp up, it's because I have this vision of having a pretty decent network on the roadways where we can monitor traffic and try to find the criminals off of it. So we, in the process of doing so, we had the opportunity to purchase some little small trailers, but there's like a telescoping type of camera system on it, and then there's like four or five cameras on that, the top of that. It's solar powered, but also has a generator backup, so we can deploy them. It's not secret. It's marked, you know, green.
Oh, yeah, you can't
gold.
Miss them. If you get near one, you'll know what you've gotten near. Yeah.
Yeah. So we started looking out in the back parking lot and thought, well, why wouldn't we put these out? Big shopping opportunities are coming around, and we anticipate a lot of people in these various parking lots. So we thought we would put them in parking lots just for added security. Not saying that the shopping centers themselves or the stores themselves don't have their own surveillance, but this is tied directly to our real-time crime center. And so we're having one. We have already deployed it on 9 Mile Road, the target on 9 Mile and University, I guess. And then we have one at Tradewind Shopping Center. And then we have one at Academy.
University Mall. Okay.
Yeah. So we're putting those three up already, and we may actually deploy one in another area as we start to look at
how many of those do you have.
We have five.
You have five. Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes they're on loan because people know we have them, and we put them typically where there's a large crowd. We'll probably have one at Five Flags Speedway. You know, we'll have one at any time we have a large event. They work very well. Again, they're solar powered, so they can stay for days at a time.
Do you find that they serve as an effective deterrent in the area?
I think that's the greatest value of them. Yeah. I know that if I was shopping, I would park near that camera.
Yeah.
As I'm walking in and out of a store, when I come with my, whatever shopping gifts I've picked up. But also just for sake of people leaving my car alone.
Yeah.
I would find that location, park as close as I can.
You may not be able to park.
Like you want to park under a light.
Right. Right. Yeah. There may not be a cop to park by, but you can park by the cop tower, you know, and that's same thing.
And again, it's
better.
So everyone knows it is a direct feed to our real-time crime center. Now, I can't promise that an analyst is watching that particular camera every time. But I can tell you, if there's anything suspicious at all, we pop it up and we can relay that to the deputies that may be arriving.
Again, my brain asks these kind of questions. Has anybody parked under your Escambia County Sheriff's Office camera tower and proceeded to engage in illegal activity themselves?
Not that we have. Okay. Not that we have noticed. They're not quite that brave. We were concerned about people tearing up a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but we have a camera that also points down at our camera. And unless you get all, I guess you could wear your hoodie and some sort
of Florida Gators, Oakland A's ensemble.
If you do that, we'll notice what you're doing. Tear it up, and they're pretty expensive, so it's certainly a felony, and we should have a pretty good picture of you.
We're talking.
We will make you famous. You will,
even more so. Yeah. Yeah. You were talking about cameras on Massachusetts, elsewhere, the camera towers. We're about halfway through the ShotSpotter 3-year term. Is that right?
Yeah, about halfway through.
It seems like we haven't heard much about that lately. Is it?
They work in conjunction. I think that maybe there's not as many shots being fired. Maybe there's good news there to be had. And when I say maybe, it's because the numbers are down. I agree with you. We haven't had as many shots.
I will take that. This is not a complaint. That's good news.
I mean, that's just what I envisioned with the increase in cameras and the roadways and our ability and desire to stop stolen cars, spin them around and get them stopped pretty quickly. Word has spread. I mean, we have undercover operatives out there in the community, and word has spread. You know, don't meet me over here because I know there's a camera, or if you do it, I can't drive this car because it's they know about it, and I don't want them to pass. They don't know where all of our cameras are, all of our license plate readers are. Mm-hmm. You could probably study and guess if you want. But my thought and my hope is that it's a deterrent, like the cameras are going to be, that people decide, you know what, this isn't, I can't do it. So maybe, and then hopefully it'll pass.
And look, a world in which the criminals are concerned that there might be cameras or plate readers or whatever in places that they're not expecting, that's a world where they're discouraged from committing crimes. And they may, you know, whether that means they don't do crimes at all or whether that means that they go somewhere other than Escambia County, we'll take it either way.
Well, and I do think that there's an opportunity, or there's a possibility, a pretty good possibility, that, you know, I'm if I'm inclined to hurt somebody or harm someone with a weapon, and I want to do it right now, mm-hmm. you know, they're not thinking rationally. They want to do it right now. But if they think, oh, I can't do that because I can't get there from here, and I'm not sure, and the cops might see me, and I don't have an extra hoodie or anything, then maybe they don't do it. And then the next day they decide it's not worth it.
The time and space needed to calm down, maybe solve this problem.
Maybe
you count
a couple hours to go, will go by and you don't feel the need to commit this crime.
You have also been launching the co-responder program, something that I'm assuming is sort of similar to what PPD does, but you tell me if it's different and in what ways. And I know you were chief there for a long time. So it's a lot of things you did there you've brought over here. And I mean, but co-responders, tell me what that means.
Our co-responder unit is a sworn deputy with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office co-responding with a clinician from the Lakeview Center.
Okay.
And what they do is they handle preemptive type of conversations with people that are on their list, that are clients, so that they make sure that they're on the medication that they need. But also they make sure that the people that they encounter, many homeless people, get the resources that they need. Mm-hmm. So we have a specialist. We have a deputy that's also been trained in how to handle those that have a mental illness, but also a Lakeview Center, which is the state of the art for regards to dealing with the mentally ill. And that allows our deputies on the street to answer calls for service without being bogged down or tied up for hours with a banker act or something that they have to do. Now, I don't know what PPD has at this point. But
it sounds pretty similar is what it sounds like to me.
Our system, I know, is only one of only two in the state of Florida where we have Miami-Dade has a system similar to us, where we have a mental health unit that is both a co-responder unit, but plus a unit that's internal to our sheriff's office and offers resources to our employees for PTSD and high profile type investigations that they might deal with.
Okay. Yeah, I was at Lakeview yesterday sitting down with Dr. Joseph for about an hour. Stuff we'll publish a little bit later on, probably next week sometime, but learning a lot about, what they deal with. And it's nice to see the, law enforcement working with clinicians, working with Lakeview, trying to get solutions and not just, arrest our way out of a problem that is really not an arresting situation, right?
So, well, we talked about it when I was with as county administrator. I was also chief corrections officer, and most of the people that were in the infirmary were there for mental illness. So obviously there's a need there, and I think that we would be doing a disservice if we didn't address that need where it was.
Yeah, and it's a financial save. It's better for them, and it's better for the county. Because, it costs a whole lot less to treat somebody, and there's funds available usually than it is to incarcerate them.
Well, our operation is from a grant. We have a grant to fund three deputies and three clinicians. Now, once that grant's over, we're about halfway through that grant as well. It's one of those things where you evaluate after the grant and whether you want to adopt it in your general fund budget, or if you want to try to get a grant. We continue to try to get recurring grants, so we'll do that. I can tell you that you talked about two things. You talked about a shot spotter. I'm still trying to determine whether that's worth the funding if it comes from our budget. But I can tell you that the co-responder unit is certainly worth it. And I would certainly have a conversation with the county commission about funding that after the grant is over. It's only three deputies, but it's three deputies that do a much needed service.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for innovating, coming up with new and better ways to do things all the time. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.